it can be hard to not only remember what that language is, but then making sure to do it in such a way that it is speaking love to them. You're not necessarily checking a box.
Welcome to Diary of the Mom Squad with Kate and Brittany. Tune in for insights into the hilarious, heartfelt, and often chaotic world of motherhood, where no one has everything figured out and we all need a whole lot of Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee, take a break, and join this crazy journey together. This is Diary of the Mom Squad, where moms connect, support, and thrive.
This month on Diary of the Mom Squad, it's February, the month of love, Valentine's Day. So we're going to talk about love languages. It's Kate and Brittany, and joining us this time, again, our journey ladies, Deborah and Becky. Welcome.
Hello.
So you guys all have kids who are of age that they can take the love languages test. Mine's 2.5, so I did not get her to take it. But we're going to talk about what your kids' love languages are and kind of maybe some things that like surprised you guys about your kids.
Yeah, so I have been in love with this test, no pun intended, for years.
It's so good.
Because, yeah, so if you're not familiar with it, there are 5 main love mm-hmm. languages that are talked about in this book. It's been around for decades, and it basically kind of breaks this down into, like, which of these areas do you feel like you feel or get love most? Right. And sometimes it's confusing because people are like, well, is this how I give love or get love? Mm-hmm. Right. The test is how you receive love. Right. Like, what are the ways that you receive that? So it's quality time. It's physical touch, it's words of affirmation, it's acts of service, and then it's like gifts. Or giving. Yeah. Those are the 5 main love languages. So I'm actually dying to know what your results were, Deborah and Becky, with your kids, because I've heard that there were like maybe some surprises.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had just my 16-year-old son and my 11-year-old daughter take the test. I did not. My other 2 children are adults, so yeah. I didn't feel like it kind of quite fit.
You're like, hey, I'm gonna fuck you guys.
But yeah, they at first were like, what?
What are we doing? What is this for?
And so I was like, it's easy. And so, yeah, with my 11-year-old Annabelle, I was kind of surprised with her result because I feel like the child is always following me around. So I was like, surely quality time is going to be her thing.
Right.
And it ended up being receiving gifts was her first one.
Whoa.
And then acts of service was kind of like the second like highest, yeah. I guess, score. And I got thinking about it, though, and I was like, well, I'm like, but she's the kid that wants to go to the grocery store with me. Like, she wants to run errands. And then while we're out, it's like, oh, mommy, can I have or can I get? You know, so I was kind of like, all right, maybe I see how, you know, receiving gifts, maybe the gift of, you know, being together or whatever is kind of her thing. So that definitely surprised me. And then for my 16-year-old Wesley, he ended up getting physical touch as his first. And then quality time is a second, which that one was not as surprising because he does come up and say, Mom, can I have a hug?
Aww.
Or, you know, I know he's such a sweetheart.
That's so nice.
And yeah, for the most part, you know, same thing. Can I ride with you to go pick up Annabelle, or can we be together or do something? So when his came through, I will say I was kind of like, OK, I can see this. And I know I can lean into this.
He's 16.
Yes.
That's great for like a 16-year-old guy to still want to like hang out with his mom.
Right.
That's
awesome. And he's very sweet. Now mine is words of affirmation, and so like he'll actually come up and want a hug and then say, Mom, do you know you're like the best mom in the world?
Oh,
and so he's in tune to it.
Yeah.
He's really in tune to it without,
so
I don't
sweet.
Think, realizing. But yeah.
Awesome.
So it was fun just kind of knowing how I can kind of pour into my kids a little bit better.
Yeah. Right.
All right, Becky, what about you?
Yeah, it's funny because so my daughter is getting ready to turn 15, and then my son is 9. He'll be 10 in the summer. And so they actually got complete opposites of each other.
Oh,
complete opposites. And it was interesting because I was reading it to my son and asking him these questions. And there were moments I was like, really? That's what you chose? I would have actually thought that he would have gone the other way, you know? So it was just kind of interesting to go through it. But yeah, my son got physical touch and acts of service. And then my daughter got quality time and words of affirmation, which she got zero on physical touch. All the ones that were like, oh, I want a hug or I want a hug. She's like, no, that's not funny. That one. So there were some that was very, it was like, okay, no, that is definitely, and it is in her. Like, she doesn't need like to be held or anything like that. Like, that's just not who she is. And so, yeah, it was, some of them were definitely like, oh yeah, that's completely true. And then other ones I was like, huh, I would have thought it was a little bit different.
That's wild.
And I think one of the things to remember too about this test is, as kids and as teenagers, when they're taking this, there will probably be some changes to it throughout the years. But like you were saying, Deborah, it's kind of fun to be able to kind of know, okay, where are they right now in this stage of life? What can I lean into a little bit more? And so hearing both of yours, it's kind of interesting because my kids took this as well. And I sort of had predisposed ideas of what I thought it would be. I was pretty much right on for Christian. He is physical touch first and then quality time second. And he is very much the same as Wesley. He's 17 years old, but he is still like, Mom, I haven't had a hug in so long. Come here. It's like the best, right? Like,
it really is.
And he gives like the best bear hugs too. Yes. Like, it's awesome. So that one did not surprise me that much at all, even though we've talked about this before. He has ADHD and he's kind of like this high energy individual who's kind of all over the place. But it is interesting, even when he was little and was like literally like a ping pong ball, like, you know, all everywhere, over the place, he would stop in the middle of those moments and be like, can I snuggle you? You know? So even from a little age, there was like that kind of need for that. And I've noticed when he's interacting with his friends, there's a lot of like high fives and like bro hugs, and, you know, all the things too. So it's definitely, that made sense to me. Elena sounds almost identical to your daughter, Becky, because she is like, ew, don't touch me.
Yeah.
And she was quality time for sure was her first, and words of affirmation were her second. And I have seen that in her. She is like, oh my gosh, if I can go to the mall with you, Mom, and it's just us, that is like so special to her. Or going out for like these, you know, mom dates, or like Mike will occasionally take her out for like the daddy daughter thing too. And so that like boosts her, right? Her mood totally, you could see a difference in that for sure. Aiden, he was my conundrum because I'm like, I don't know. He's kind of all of them. Like, I don't know.
He's a good mixture.
He's a good mixture of everything. And I actually asked him before he took it what he thought he was. And he said, I don't know, like probably like physical touch and quality time. And those were definitely high for him. But the one that he didn't think was going to score at all was gifts. And that was actually, so physical touch was his first. He's always been like a cuddle bug. But gifts was actually his second. And as I was thinking over it, I thought, okay, yeah, that actually makes sense. My sister, of all people, she's like the best gift giver ever. And so when my kids are involved in like theater stuff or like any like special activity, birthday or Christmas, she is really good at giving specific gifts for the kids. And Aiden in particular is always like, that's exactly what I wanted. How did you know? You know? So I think it like resonates with him.
Yeah.
But he, of the three, was less distinctive across the board. All his percentages were a little bit closer. So I don't know if that's just because he's 13 and still figuring out, like, you know, maybe a little bit of what he's interested in or whatever. But yeah, it's intriguing. Do you all know your love languages, Brittany? What are yours?
So mine is definitely quality time. I just love like an intentional, like sitting in the same room and like watching TV together to me is not quality time. Like, I like like having conversations and like deep conversations. So that's mine. And then my husband's is physical touch, which I am very bad at, which is why this test is so good, because then you can like, we know how we receive love. And a lot of times we end up giving love that way too. And that's not what our spouse or our kids necessarily want or need. And so taking the test, it sounds so cheesy and corny, especially, I mean, props to you guys with like teenage kids getting them to do this.
Right.
Because my daughter's right now, she's 2.5, I would say is probably gifts, because that's the only thing. Like, she doesn't really like to be held. She's never like, she's so independent. And if I could get her to take the test, which I can't at this age, I have a feeling it would be gifts, because she loves getting gifts right now. And so that's the only thing I could guess with her. But what about you? What are your love languages?
So I know for sure mine is words of affirmation. Just as much as a good word can like boost me up, a bad word can definitely tear me down in just a second. And funny example of, I guess, a good, you know, time is I just took my nephew who just turned 3 to Aqua Zoo, the little aquarium and stuff.
Yeah, that
and, you know, it was more of a treat. He calls me Dee Dee. It was more of a treat for Dee Dee than anything. But when we got back to his house, he ran up to his mom unprompted and said, "That was fun."
Aww.
And I was like, okay, take me now, Jesus. Like, that's all I need, you know? So, like,
I'm done for the week. I'm
but
good.
Like that. Or, like, if my dad tells me he's, like, proud of me, like, that's all I need. So, yeah, I know for sure words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. Like, you tell me I did a great job, or, you know, you liked my hair today, or whatever. It's like, yep, that is top for me.
That's awesome.
I'm definitely an acts of service. Mm-hmm. Like, if I come home and the house has been vacuumed,
you're like, woo,
hallelujah. Like, amen. Like, dishes have been done. Oh, my goodness. Like, those are definitely, I'm definitely an acts of service person. And I probably would be a words of affirmation, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think second to acts of service mm-hmm. would be that. Because just when you do hear that, like, hey, nice job. Or, like, mm-hmm. thanks for thinking of me and doing this.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes you feel like, okay, like some... It makes you feel seen, like somebody's seeing mm-hmm. what you're doing and they're complimenting something or, you know, whatever, telling you you're doing good. Yeah. So
I struggled with the acts of service one for a long time, not even understanding it, because I'm a person that's like, okay, I'm grateful that you did it for me, but you probably didn't do it right.
Like, yeah, that's me too. I'd be like,
give
checking.
Some of that up,
right?
I mean,
right.
I think,
that's
I
a me
you
thing,
do.
Right?
Yeah, you realize like the way that they did it, it was like, okay, this was to make your life easier. Right, this was for you not to have to do something. Yeah. So yeah, I had to give some of that.
That told me
up.
A lot about my personality, because I was like, oh, I like to be in control. Okay, all right. Yeah. So acts of service is not mine for sure. Physical touch and words of affirmation are almost exactly the mm-hmm. same for me in my life. And I grew up with a house where, I mean, like, if you didn't get a hug during the day, something was vastly wrong, right?
Yeah.
Like, my mom is very huggy, and we have always been very, like, interactive mm-hmm. physically mm-hmm. with each other. And so that was kind of, I guess, my momming sort of, like, follows that example. And I'm very touchy-feely. Like, when mm-hmm. I talk to people, I tend to, like, you know, put a hand on your shoulder. Yep. Or, you know, I talk with my hands, as I'm doing right now. And so, yeah, that one came as no surprise to me. And then, like, you were both saying, the words of affirmation, mm-hmm. who doesn't like to hear good things? But it's interesting how even if you're a super confident person, right, you need that affirmation mm-hmm.
yeah,
sometimes.
Absolutely.
And I didn't realize how much that was important in my life until I went through, like, a really bad work situation mm-hmm. years ago where was just day after day after day of, like, never being told that you were doing a good job. You were mm-hmm. always being told this is what's going wrong, even if it wasn't actually happening. But it
weighs on you.
It does. Yeah. And I actually hit a depressive point in that, because I was hearing it over and mm-hmm. over and over again. And it happened to be during that season of my life when I was going through my divorce too. So it was just like, I didn't even realize how much I needed the positive
somebody to say, like, hey, you're doing all right. You're doing a good job.
To the point that there was one afternoon that my dad came over to help me put something together at my apartment, and he just stopped what he was doing and he said, "Kate, I just want to tell you, I'm just really proud of you.
Yeah.
You're doing a good job." I broke down.
Oh my God.
He was like, I think he was scared that, like, he had broken me or something.
Right.
I just started sobbing. And it was, you know, it was a moment where I was like, I haven't been told I was doing anything good for so long.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, that it's kind of crazy how you, like, you internalize those love languages without even thinking about it.
Well, exactly. And timely encouragement can be life changing,
mm-hmm. yes.
you know, like, mm-hmm. and so that's a reminder to everybody, right. you know, too,
yes.
like, just, hey, maybe even if it's not yours, it could be that other
right.
person's and they may need it.
And
you
that's
know?
The hard part with me is, like, I am much more, my husband's second one is words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. And growing up in a household where it just wasn't a thing, like, we weren't touchy, and we didn't say, like, we didn't really say negative, but we didn't really say positive things to each other either. It just kind of was, like, surface level conversation a lot of the times. And so, like, I know he needs that. I am, write it down. If I can write you a card, I will write it down. But actually saying it, and I know it means more when I say it, because I actually have to be like, ooh, this makes me uncomfortable. I'm going to actually say it. Mm-hmm. I'll write it down and I'll mean every word, but saying it is hard. So I think that's, like, something that I've learned in loving him in a certain way is, like, I need to be better about intentionally doing these things. And mm-hmm. so, like you guys all said, like, I think everybody has some level of words of affirmation, because positive encouragement can really, like, build you up. And it's February and it's, like, the love month. So, like, as we go about our day, we should look for ways to encourage each other as well as, like, our kids and our spouses.
Mm-hmm. But Brittany, you bring up a really good point. And I guess my question here would be, do you struggle? Do any of us struggle with fulfilling that love language that is another person's love language? Because you were saying, okay, so words of affirmation aren't necessarily your natural. What do you do in that spot if you're like, oh, my kid or my spouse receives love this way, but this is like not my go-to?
No, I think I'm in that boat a lot with, because Kevin is physical touch. But it's interesting because I think there's the opportunity to just not do anything, or the opportunity to not do it with good intentions, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So like when we were talking about physical touch, it's like, if that's Wesley's thing, if I don't give him a hug all day long, okay, he might notice and be like, man, I didn't get a mom hug today.
Yeah.
But like if he comes over trying to give me a hug and I just kind of like push him off.
Right, because that's not your,
you know, and
thing.
Be like, or hey, high five. All right, good. Okay, see you. But, you know, like I think that can end up doing more damage than just not acknowledging he needs a hug that day.
Right.
I think when thinking of my kids and even my husband and stuff, of like ways of like, okay, if I know these are these love languages, one, how can I do it in such a way that honors them of what, and you know, and I think that's where the whole love language thing kind of gets confusing. Yeah. Like you said, it's like, okay, well, this is, I receive love by words of affirmation, so I'm going to tell him he did a great job, you know?
Right.
And it's like, he appreciates that, but that he's not feeling the love. So I think, it can be hard to not only remember what that language is, but then making sure to do it in such a way that it is speaking love to them. You're not necessarily checking a box.
Right.
I love that too, because then you don't have to consciously remember like, oh, like you said, like, I need to give that person a hug today. Just being receptive when they show you that they need it. Like, oh, this is how they feel love. Because I'm the type that, like, I'm just like, don't touch me. And so, like, just being open to those moments would probably go a long way in my marriage. So.
Well, I think it's a process. And I think being patient with each other and realizing that it is a process and taking it is going to take time. Like, I think back to when my husband and I were first married, and I'm not a gifts person at all. And so for my husband, he would like send flowers or do something. And to me, that just didn't mean a ton, you know, like I was like, oh, great. That sounds thank you. You know, I mean, so we had to like learn that.
Right,
and it is
right.
a process, and it is something. But if I would have just gotten mad and upset and never talked about it and just like held that in kind of thing, it would have become an issue. Mm-hmm. So I think just allowing it to be a process, being patient with each other, talking
through about it,
like being honest, like, hey, I really loved those flowers, they were great, but you know, if you're really looking for something to, you know, bless me or encourage me with, like, that sink of dishes over there. That smell of Dawn is amazing.
Did you guys get a chance to then share with your kids your love languages? Like, did they ask, or did you tell them, like, this is mine or anything, like any conversations like that kind of happened?
I mean, love languages has been around, like you said, for decades.
Yeah.
And so it's something I think they've kind of just known.
Kind of known about.
I mean, we even have a joke in my family of like, I need a gold star, like, but it's more, it's the words. It's like, you did a great job, gold star or whatever.
Yeah.
So like my kids kind of know from that, that like, hey, mom likes it when she hears, you know, encouragement.
Cool.
So,
I think my kids, like when we sat down to do this, like they were like, because again, they've heard about it, but we've never really sat down and like, okay, let's really figure this out. Mm-hmm. So this was our first opportunity to actually do that. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, okay. And as we were going through and some of the questions, it was funny because my daughter was getting frustrated.
Oh, really?
Because she was like, well, I mean, but a little bit of this too, you know, and that's like kind of that perfectionist in her. She's like, I have to know. But it was just kind of funny just to go through it with them. And I did tell them, I was like, that's, I'm acts of service and words of affirmation. Yeah. And they were like, oh, we could totally see that.
So you're like, so when you clean up your room and your messes,
it means
we feel
so
good.
Much to me.
That's funny. Yeah, I've had conversations with my kids through the years about kind of the love languages thing. So this was not like brand new for us either in our family. But I thought it was interesting because all three of them, to some extent, whether it was first, second, or third in their list, that quality time thing came up.
Mm.
And Mike and I have been talking about this. My husband and I have been talking about this of like, okay, these kids are teenagers and life is crazy. And how can we give them more intentional time, like more one-on-one time of where it's, you know, not just, I'm driving you to something else that you need to go to, or I'm showing up to volunteer at something that you're involved in, which is great.
Right.
Like those moments are awesome. But knowing what we know about their need for quality time and what does that look like in life? And it's interesting too. Elena actually brought this up. My daughter, she said, I think it's kind of intriguing that all three of us have a need for that quality time. She said, I wonder if that has to do with the back and forth that we did for so many years with bouncing back and forth between two houses when, you know, like the height of all the divorce stuff was going on. And I hadn't really ever considered, like, it didn't occur to me that that might be a piece of it. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, what perspective to put on it that, they probably do crave a little bit more of that quality time because it did feel a little transitional for a lot, and not in a way that was necessarily intentional on my ex-husband or my part. It just is kind of a part of the course
of
the nature of that experience. So I think too, some of these love languages, thinking through it in that filter, some of it can kind of be dependent on what environment you grew up in, what outside forces. You know, Brittany, you were just talking about, like, that was not you're not a touchy-feely house. That wasn't for you. So it was interesting to think of it from that way, and thank you to my almost 15-year-old daughter for bringing that to my attention.
And some of them you'll find, like, little nuances as it goes, like what qualifies as an acts of service, what actually does define quality time, what kind of physical touch is better than other, like, so every, and even gifts, like intentional gifts versus just, like, you know, random gifts, things like that. So each then language has its own nuances to figure out as well. But I think this is really, I'm excited for my daughter to get older so I can figure out what hers is so that we can explore that. But yeah, I'm glad we did this and got to learn more about each other so that we can serve each other well, and our spouses and our kids as well too. So.
And we can probably link the test.
Yes,
right?
We can do that. Yeah. We'll link the test. And if you've been listening this long, you can text Mom Squad to 800-424-9594 for a chance to win a Journey mug.
Thanks for listening to Diary of the Mom Squad. Tune in next time for more stories, more laughter, and the reminder that we always need more Jesus. You got this, Mom!